Good. All right, so we did our first of what will be a regular rotation of distributing food at St. Patrick's Church. And the cars were lined up like, right? I think we gave, 300 bags of food, something like that? So, and by the way, we're a minority of that crew. Jan's on her phone while, but amen. Sandy was there. But there was a good crew from Catholic Charities that were there. That was great. So that was one of our events. There's Andres's brother, who's the head honcho over there. He was really out of himself. It was a lot of fun. And then we had our sports night.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying that our group of nine took on about 20 people from the Fresno Church. And we took them on in volleyball,
Yes.
They schooled us the first game, but then and after that, yeah. And then, we had, and then there was soccer, and you see, the best two players on the field were our players. Andres and Kevin, And then there was basketball. We got humbled there a little bit, That's good for us though, because we needed to get humbled. I got humbled.
You did, but all right.
Until overtime, in which case they beat us. All right.
For the record, we subbed one quarter with all of Fresno.
Yeah, there you go.
So they left Fresno.
All right, yeah.
It was Fresno against
Now, Fresno. It's time to be humble now. It's time to go for humility here.
There we go.
Humility.
Here we go.
They were better than we were. All right. So anyway, this will be our third, and it's supposed to be the last, although I got so much material. Oh, it's just one of those things. I got my 5-page sermons. I got my 6-page sermons. Then I got my 7-page sermons. You know what I'm saying? And, but we'll try to finish it up. So, like we said, Proverbs, we've been doing the wisdom literature, Job.
Yeah.
We did Psalms, Ecclesiastes, now we're doing Proverbs. And Proverbs is a unique genre. Alright, it is wisdom literature. There's no real outline to the book. The material comes somewhat random, so it's hard to teach exegetically from beginning to end. So what we're doing is we're doing what I've not done a lot of preaching, which is more topical. All right. And the thing that makes Proverbs unique is that in the book of Proverbs, people are speaking to people. Most of the Bible is God speaking to us. Then there are Psalms where we're speaking to God. And then there's Proverbs. So we don't read Proverbs to learn different biblical commands, per se. Not even for a lot of theology, honestly. We read Proverbs to find out how to be good people, essentially. In fact, like I said, a significant amount of Proverbs, you didn't even have to be a Christian necessarily to go, that's actually a pretty good idea. You know what I'm saying? So the question is, what kind of person do you want to be? Do you want to be a godly person living a godly life? Then spend plenty of time in Proverbs. Practical instructions for Christian living. So we broke it down to a few topics. Wisdom more broadly, self-discipline, laziness, finances, pride, humility, counsel, advice. And then our last two topics this morning, which is in relationships, which is the largest quantity of material in Proverbs in the subject of relationships. And then we'll talk about the poor. Okay, so a little bit of review here. We started in Proverbs 1:7. I'm skipping most of the passages just to give you a flavor for it. And we found out the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. And we understood that although God wants us to feel safe, protected, loved, and taken care of, we also need to have a reverent fear of God. And that is the source of wisdom. And then we went on and we talked about wisdom in planning. And the idea was this. There's a way which seems right to a person, but at the end it leads to death. And the advice is commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. And so the basic idea there from God is every major decision you make, put God's will at the center of that decision, and you'll do well. Okay, and then we spent some time on self-discipline. And one of the proverbs we read is better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. And learning that character trait of self-control is that's something that will make your life produce fruit. Then we, the opposite of that, basically, we talked about not being, wait, oh, what about, oh, I forgot the section, no, there you go. About laziness, and about being a sluggard, right? And Solomon said to us, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. And he said, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding in the hands of rest. And poverty will come upon you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. And we said, I'm sure I'm glad nobody's sitting on the couches this morning, because we're going to give them a hard time. But however, Josh's dad, Josh, has significant back issues, so sitting in a hard back chair is hard on him. So we're having compassion. We're not judging him over there as a sluggard. We're not, because he has back issues. And if you were a professional plumber for 25 years, you'd probably have back issues too, so that might explain it. So there you go. All right, and then we also saw scriptures about wise use of our finances. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. And some of us need to stop chasing fantasies, and we need to flat out get a job. All right, I had a couple conversations on that topic actually just this week with a couple of people, but we're going to move on. All right, great. Then we talked about Proverbs and wealth. And so we were in Proverbs 13:11. Dishonest money dwindles away. Whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. And I gave the advice, if you apply for a job and they tell you you're going to get rich from this job, walk away from that job right away. Bad idea. Bad motivation. And also just multi-level marketing, get-rich-quick schemes, not a good idea. The Bible does not discourage or even call gathering wealth sinful, but it suggests to gather it gradually over time through hard work. Yes? So that's the next thing. And then our next little section was on pride and humility, right? And we saw that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Closely related to that was next topic, the last topic we covered. This is the last of our review. Then we'll do the material. We talked about heeding, correction, seeking advice. So we saw a scripture that said, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Whoever hates correction is stupid. And just this morning, I got correction from my wife on the quantity of cat food. You know what happened? My emotion said, you know what I did? By the way, we're doing memory verses, right? Five members. One of my memory verses is
that one.
Oh, so you know what I did? I quoted that scripture to myself, and I'm like, amen. Thank you, Jan. I don't know if I actually went in and said thank you, but in my heart I said thank you for that advice. Thank you for that correction. Whew. These lessons are helping me. I'm actually getting some good stuff out of it. All right? So here we go. Let me say it again. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. He who hates correction is stupid, and I don't want to be stupid, and my natural tendency is to hate correction. Okay, I don't know about you, but I do. So, there you go. The way of a fool seems right to them, but the wise person listens to advice. And I suggested we should be a group of believers who seek advice rather than having somebody have to, unfortunately, say something without us soliciting that advice. Last of all, we had iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another. Okay, great. New material. So we're going to talk about relationships. Like I said, Proverbs has more, there are more Proverbs relating to relationships than any other, which, if you think about it, it kind of makes sense. That's probably a good idea. So we're going to look at about five or six different categories related to relationships. The first one is in the category of being a peacemaker. Okay, Proverbs 12:16. We're going to be reading a lot of Proverbs this morning.
Yeah.
All right. Proverbs 12:16. Here we go. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Okay? How do you do in that area? Okay? Do you become annoyed easily? Do you? What's it call a person who gets annoyed easily?
Thin
Well, okay, you could call it that, but it calls it a fool. A fool. Well, some of us just naturally get annoyed easily, right? Others, not so much. It's a personality thing. I don't think there's such a thing as a bad personality. Just every personality has its strengths and weaknesses. We just have to learn what to do with that. So some of us, we're so chill, we never get annoyed. And we look at those people getting annoyed. But what if you do get annoyed? Well, you need to listen to this proverb from Solomon. And you might want to put this on your memory scripture list. Why did I put that other one on my memory scripture list? The one about a correction and counsel. Because I'm not very good at that. Don't put the one you're good at on your memory scripture list. All right? You could if you want to, but I'd suggest you not do that. All right? So are you easily offended? And if you are, what's his advice? It says it right here. We have to learn how to overlook it. Because if you are easily offended, it's somewhat likely you'll continue to be easily offended because that's your personality. So what do you have to train yourself to do? You have to train yourself how to overlook it. Got it? That's the way it works. Proverbs 15, verse 1. We're not spending a lot of time on any verse. We're just letting the scripture mostly speak for itself. Ask a couple of questions. If the shoe fits, wear it. If the shoe doesn't fit, praise the Lord for that, okay? All of us are going to get hit big time in certain areas in Proverbs. In other areas, we're going to be, Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. There was just a situation this morning where, there was an offense, and possibly somebody got a little bit, annoyed, and possibly, maybe, said a harsh word, all right? Harsh words are a mistake, all right? Would your friends describe you as someone who gives gentle answers? Okay? Pretty simple question to answer, and I think there are certain sins we tend to not be aware of, and there's certain sins we pretty much know. Okay, so just ask yourself this question. Okay, would your friends describe you as one who typically gives a gentle answer? If not, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have a lot of fighting. And you're not going to be able to help people. Harsh words means people aren't going to come to you next time. Even though what you said was true, if you say it with harsh words, it's going to make the person want to rebel. It's going to make them want to do it. And you don't want to be responsible for that, right? People sometimes say, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I don't believe that at all. Okay? So, right? Fools, it doesn't say fools get annoyed. It says fools show annoyance. Okay, you got to learn to swallow it. All of us get annoyed at times. I mean, that roommate, oh my goodness, they left toothpaste all over it. It's the 27th time. All right, we have to learn how to overlook it. Now, that doesn't mean you never say something. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. It doesn't mean you never say anything. But the Bible gives us specific advice about when you say something. And what's one piece of advice when you say something according to this second verse? Gentle words. In fact, if you're about to say something and it's not going to be gentle, what should you say? Nothing. That's going to be another proverb, okay? And what you can do is just wait. Just wait. What I've learned is, not always, by the way, I'm not here like a super great example. What I've learned is, if you wait for an hour, like 80% of the time you're like, oh, well, all right. And then 20% of the time, wow, I need to say something, then maybe say it. Okay, close related to the idea of being a peacemaker is the idea of quarreling. All right, so that's kind of the opposite. That's part B in our outline of, I think it's F or G parts. Proverbs 17:14. I really, we need to take this lesson home. All right, we're going to make a few points today. There's two that I want to really, really emphasize. And the one of them I really want to emphasize is avoiding quarreling. All right, he says here in Proverbs 17:14, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. And all of us know this. We all know it. You're having a talk, you're having a discussion, you're having a heated discussion, and now you're having a quarrel. And once you have a quarrel, there's only one thing to really do, which is stop. Because once you're quarreling, every word out of both sides is bad. They're all bad. I mean, once it's a quarrel, you're defending your position, they're defending their position, no communication is happening, so just stop. How about this? Don't get into a quarrel in the first place. There you go. That's what it's like. See? Once you get there, what's going to happen to that dam? It's toast. He says, that's what quarreling is like. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So what's his advice? Drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. So you have to learn how to just say, you know what? Okay. You know, when you're having a discussion, you can reach a conclusion, right? But when you're having a quarrel, there's no such thing as a conclusion to a quarrel. The only thing is to stop quarreling. That's my experience. So what is the advice? Stop it. Drop the matter. Are you somebody who can drop the matter? Are you somebody that once you get started, you just won't give it up? You just won't give it up. My mother always said it takes two to fight. Some of the advice my mom gave, like she said, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true at all. That's not even close to true. But this one, it takes two to fight. That is 100% true. All right? So whose job is it to prevent the quarrel? Both. But that knowledge doesn't help one bit. So let me start all over again. Correct answer, Garrick, but I'm going to ask the question again. Whose job is it to end the quarrel? It's your job. End of story. If you're thinking, oh, they need to stop arguing, it never works. So what if somebody offends you? What's the advice? Drop the matter. Always? No, not always. The Proverbs is not advising that you never say something. Because it even talks about accepting correction. And, you know, that's not what we're talking about. But if it's turning into a quarrel, then it's time to drop it. So somebody's rude. Somebody you strongly disagree with. Maybe with the words they said or the action they did. We need to learn to let it go. I don't know, 80%, 90% of the time? I don't know what the percentage is. Sometimes we just need to say nothing. You know? They left it dirty again. Well, say nothing. Most of the time. Didn't clean up the mess. They were rude, made a foolish statement. I say give it an hour, give it a day. And at the end of an hour and a day, if you still feel like, you know what, I really think I need to say something, probably you actually do. Probably you actually do. And then you say something. But what if somebody else is trying to start a fight? They're the one trying to start the fight. So whose fault is it then if you fight? It's your fault. It's your fault. Their fault too, right? Right, Garrick? But you know what I'm saying? You know, generally, we never admit that we're the ones starting the fight. You know, we never admit it. And Jan and I, we've had a hundred of these conversations. And I'm sure anybody marries. You're the one who said it. No, it's like, who cares? And by the way, I've done this. I'm guilty of this countless number of times with Jenna, you know, having the dumbest discussion ever over who started it. You know. So anyway, I believe me, I need this just as much as anybody here. But it's in the Bible, so I'm going to preach it, even though I'm not the most awesome example of this. Have you ever been in a discussion and you realize that for both of you, it's beyond discussion. It's come down to each of you trying to convince the other of that viewpoint. Then at that point, just stop. Okay? Now, just simply walking away, not the best way to handle it. Jan will tell you that's what I tend to do, which is better than staying and quarreling, honestly. It's better than staying and quarreling. But probably, like, you know what? I think Adita, just, let's just stop this for now kind of thing is probably a better way to handle it, okay? Jan will tell you lots of examples of me not doing super awesome in this one, but there you go. All right, Proverbs 29:22. Okay, Proverbs 29:22 says, "An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins." Are you hot-tempered? Are you easily angered? There are people in this room who are not that way at all. Garrick, I bet it's be hard to even get in an argument with Garrick. He's, I don't know you that well, Garrick, but I don't think you're hot-tempered. In fact, I don't think you're hot-tempered at all. There are people in this room who are hot-tempered. I'm thinking of a couple of them right now. I'm not going to look at you right now. All right. Yeah.
Don't say names.
Yeah, no names. So hot-tempered people, we just need to learn to not express our opinion. Yeah. We need to do that. Oh, let's go for the positive side of it, okay? Remember we had peacemaker? So let's go for the positive side. All right? Proverbs 25:15. Again, we're not spending a lot of time on any one of these topics. If the shoe fits, wear it, and probably consider memorizing that verse. I'm telling you, it worked for me this morning. I turned it around. All right. Jen might not even realize I got kind of upset, like, and then... Because then I turned it around. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, good. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Possibly my favorite elder of all time, George Havens. He'd be right up there with Ron Brumley, but George Havens, one of his favorite sayings was, John, gentle pressure relentlessly applied. Gentle pressure. The problem is with gentle pressure relentlessly applied is it takes patience and it takes time. But guess what? It works. You're going to help people more by gentle words. I'm telling you. If you think harsh words are going to help them to change, you're wrong. It is not true. That is misinformation. Okay? Gentle words, gentle tongue can break a bone. All right, some of us have not had much experience with that because we don't even try that. Gentle word, swallow that thought, right? Proverbs 25:21. Oh, that's the one I'm on. No? Oh, that's because there's two in chapter Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25:21. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Where in the New Testament is that quoted?
Romans
12.
Yeah.
Verse, about 14 or 15, somewhere in there. Yeah, so, you know, enemy, who's your enemy? The person you're mad at right now, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Is this your enemy? And just do something nice for them. Give them a cookie. Okay? All right, we're in C. C out of G. So we're cranking right through this stuff. All right, what have we seen so far? Let's see. We saw, okay, gentle words, right? Not stirring up anger, letting things go, stuff like that. Peacemaking. Mm-hmm. All right. Next is listening. I do believe in my list of relational proverbs, listening, I believe, is the longest of these categories. There are many. I had to cut lots of scriptures about listening off. Proverbs 17:18. Proverbs 17:18. It says, oops, that's the wrong one. 17:28, thank you. Right, it's even underlined in my Bible. Even fools are thought wise if they remain silent, and discerning if they hold their tongue. Remember, there's two kinds of proverbs. There's parallel and opposed. And this is a parallel one, a parallelism. All right? You know, some people, you wonder if they're a fool, but as soon as they start talking, the matter's settled. You kind of figure it out. Okay, there you go. All right? Yeah, we need to learn to just sometimes not talk. Okay? Just listen. All right? They're considered discerning if they hold their tongue. Now, they may not be, but, you know, at least it seems that way. We're too quick to speak, right? So we need to learn how to listen. And when we're listening, we're showing respect. When we're talking, maybe we are, maybe we're not. Proverbs 18, verse 2, right across the page there. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinion. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Do you generally want to listen to people? When you, I don't know about you, but when I'm in a discussion with somebody, I'm thinking about my response, typically, before they finished saying what they're going to say. I just saw Ryan chuckling. I think it's because he knows it's true about me. He's had to call me out. At least, okay, you too. Okay, great. I've had to be called out multiple times since I've been here, even in Merced. Like, dude, let me finish talking. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if they said dude, but whatever they said. All right? Yeah, we need to learn to let people express their feelings. Basically, are you done? You know, maybe, are you done? Are you finished? If they say they are, okay, great. Now's my opportunity. Do you prefer airing your own opinion or listening to other people's opinion? Well, all of us would rather express our own opinion than hear somebody else's, but some of us really are bad at that. All right? So, let me read that proverb one more time. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Are you an opinionated person? Are you a person who just thinks everybody probably should listen to your opinion? And, you might possibly consider their opinion, but really hardly worth the trouble, since probably your opinion is right and theirs is wrong. How many people think their opinion is wrong? Nobody ever thought their opinion was wrong. All right? So, again, the simple question, do you generally care? And do you genuinely listen? All right? You ask your roommate. Ask your spouse. You probably don't need to because you know the answer, but do it anyway. All right? Are you somebody who listens to the end? Or do you instead speak out? Verse 13 of Proverbs 18. To answer before listening, I'm busted already, all right? See, I didn't even finish the verse and I'm already responding. It's a joke. Okay. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Oh my goodness. Okay. Some of us probably need to have a muzzle. Us meaning me. Let them finish. Proverbs 29:20. All right? Remember that when you're talking to people, just let them finish. Make sure they've given their full thing. Hopefully they'll let you do the same thing, but that's not your job. Do you see somebody who speaks in haste? Is that you? Says there's more hope for a fool than for that person. So we need to be, what's it saying, James? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Okay? James, like I said before, is the Proverbs, if you will, of the New Testament. Okay, now the two points I want you to go away, I want to really emphasize, okay, is not quarreling. Okay? Remember, every time you're in a quarrel, it's your fault. Every single time. Every single time you're in a quarrel, it's your fault. Every single time. Right? And it's your job to stop it. Okay? The other thing I want to talk about, I want us to go away like with some strong conviction, is on gossip. Honestly, I think this church has a gossip problem. Okay? We're close. We're like a family. We're supposed to, not like, we are a family. All right? But I don't know. I think we have a gossip problem. See, this is, this, I'm not, you know, I want to go easy on the ones I'm bad at and hard on the ones I'm good at. I don't think, maybe this is like a big problem for me, but I think we have a gossip problem, all right? So I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Okay? The prior subject, I'm terrible at it. I got way long to go. All right, Proverbs 29:20. Oops, sorry. Proverbs 18:8, excuse me. Proverbs 18:8. Okay, there aren't a lot of scriptures on gossip, honestly, in Proverbs. There's a few of them, definitely. Not a huge number. But I think it's a big issue for Christians in general and for us specifically. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost part. You know, I've confronted people on gossiping a few times, and I've never, ever gotten a positive response for doing that. Never, not even one time. In fact, I've never had anybody ever admit to me they were gossiping. Ever. I don't think it ever happens. Nobody ever admits they're gossiping. It's just one of those things. Okay? It's just one of those sins. All right? So what is gossiping? It's talking about somebody who's not in the room in a way that is not helpful, which is most of the time, not all the time. It's not like you never, ever can talk about somebody who's not in the room. Come on, that's ridiculous. It's not true. But why are you mentioning this to that person? What was the spiritual positive value of mentioning this to that person? I've never known anybody who was gossiping say, oh yeah, I guess that was gossip. You know, that was gossiping. So that's part of the human, I don't know, that's my experience. If I'm wrong on that, fine. So people don't like it being pointed out, but I think we need to be willing to do that. You know, if you get a feeling, you're in a conversation, you feel like, this feels like we're talking about somebody who's not in the room. Probably, if they were here, we wouldn't have said it. Alright? And there's really no need for this to be said. Then you're probably gossiping. If you feel like that's happening, maybe just say it. I don't know. Could this possibly be gossip? Don't say you're gossiping. Right? Come on. You're involved in the conversation, okay? Alright? So what's it say? It says, the scripture says, gossip is like a choice morsel. Oh, it feels so good to talk about people's faults. Why does it feel so good to talk about people's faults? Because it makes us feel better than them. How terrible is that? How terrible is that? Oh, my goodness. So I say, you know what? Let's call it what it is when it's happening. Okay? So I think not engaging it is good, but I think we need to maybe call it what it is. Proverbs 20, verse 19. Again, if you're talking about somebody who's not in the room, and if they had been there, you wouldn't have said it. Or if there's really no obvious purpose to having the discussion, you know, just letting you know about that or whatever. It's gossip. It just is. All right. Proverbs 20, verse 19. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Okay? There you go. Solution. Every one of us needs to acknowledge that we like gossiping. Some worse than others, but all of us like gossiping. How do I know that? Because you're a person. Okay? All right? And then we need to be willing to take a chance. We need to call it out because it's that one sin. Like if certain sins, if you're stealing, you kind of know you're stealing. You know what I'm saying? If you're lusting, you probably kind of know you're lusting. But when you're gossiping, you usually just don't even know that's what you're doing. So it's one thing where calling somebody else on it might be advisable. And then if it happens to you, say thank you, even though that's going to be really hard. Okay, almost done here. All right. Oh, and there's a whole section on advice to wives. I'm not going to. It's a thing, okay?
Yeah.
It's a thing. I'm just going to skip it, okay? Okay, Jan said to Jan, my wife. said to read these scriptures. All right, thank you. Proverbs, no! This is on my memory scripture list. Yeah, I got Proverbs 19:13. All right. A foolish child is the father's ruin, and a quarrelsome wife is like the constant dripping of a leaky roof. I'll just read it, go on to the next one. Proverbs 21:29, which says, the glory of a young man is their strength. Oh, no, that's not the one. Oh, rats. Oh, 21:29, yeah. The wise... I didn't spend a lot of time in this part of my sermon. I just wrote them down. All right. It's the wrong one. Good. Proverbs 25:24. 21:19, okay. And Denise is elbowing him right now. 20:19, here you go. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. Apparently, this is a sin that men and women both struggle with, but I guess women struggle with more than men. Maybe. I don't know. Either that or Solomon is a misogynist. Or both. I don't know. 25:24, which says, better to live in a corner of a roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Okay, we're moving on. We're on our next slide, which is sarcasm. This is one of my... I mean, it's a convicting scripture, but it's actually kind of funny. It's pretty good. This is a good one. All right, Proverbs 26:18-19. All right. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is the one who deceives his neighbor and says, I was just joking. Okay. We're talking about sarcasm, right? Sarcasm is one of my favorite kinds of humor, but actually, it's kind of... pretty much non-Christian humor. I mean, you know, you say, that was so funny, I forgot to laugh. That's kind of mean. Yeah. Oh, aren't we looking great today? Ooh. The thing is, when you're using sarcasm, what you're doing is you're pretending you're kidding, but you're not. Right? You're pretending you're kidding, but you're not. And by the way, I'm not going to go so far as to say we should have a sarcasm-free zone. I think even Jesus was sarcastic a couple of times. All right. And Paul. Yeah, Paul, like, go all the way. And, you know, yeah, so I don't think we should have a sarcasm-free zone. I would just say, read that scripture. Learn that scripture and apply it, okay? We have to be careful, because we say we're just kidding. And when you say you're just kidding, you're actually not. That's the why you said you're just kidding. And when you say you're just kidding, by the way, you might be sort of kidding and sort of not kidding. That's the way sarcasm works. I'm sort of kidding, but I'm also sort of not kidding. And if it's 99% kidding and 1% not kidding, it's probably okay. You know what I'm saying? But, okay. Let me see. Almost done here. Friendships. The value of friendships. All right. Yeah. Okay. Oh, no, he sent it to me. Yeah. Proverbs 18:24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. One of the most valuable things in the world is not a nice house. It's not a bachelor's degree. Those are valuable, but a friend, a good friend is worth more than any of that stuff. We need good friends. I'm not very good at making friends. I'm just not. We were in Wisconsin for 7 years. I remember when we left Wisconsin, I realized I didn't make a single good friend. We were there for 7 years. Probably because we were living an hour away from the church. But I'm just not very good at making close friends. And since then, I've repented of that, by the way. When I left Wisconsin, I realized I was here for 7 years, didn't make a single friend. Not really. And I decided to change that, you know what I'm saying? And I went after having friends. Like, Carlos, and, you know, I've got all kinds of friends from San Diego, and I call them often. I value them. I have I've actually got a pretty decent number of friends. It's because I've learned this. There's a friend who sticks closer to it than a brother. Proverbs 20, verse 6. We all need good friends. You need good friends. I need good friends. Proverbs 20, verse 6. You know what they say? If you want to have a friend, be one. I don't think that's the whole thing, though. Just being one is not enough. You have to seek friendships. And by the way, you have to love everybody. But you don't have to like everybody. All right? And you form friends with people you like. And that's a good thing. Okay? You form friendships with people you have the same interests. And that's good. David and Jonathan, they're the ultimate biblical example of friends. And they had a lot in common. They just loved the same things. Okay, Proverbs 20, verse 6. Did I read that? Yeah, I don't think I did. Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find. He's not saying it's impossible. It's just hard. So do you have some really, really good friends? It's like the kind of person, even if you hadn't talked to him for 3 months, you start talking, it's like you never stopped. Mm-hmm. But then again, probably you wouldn't go 3 months without talking to him because they're really good friends. And you need to value those friends and hold them for life. My parents are great examples of this, by the way. My parents in their 90s, they had friends they'd been friends with for 50 years. And they'd move to the other side of the country and they would just fly there to be with each other. That's one of the great things about my parents. Yeah. Getting me emotional. I lost my dad not too long ago. All right. Oh, last piece of advice. That's what it says. This is my last piece of advice. Okay. I had one more, but I said, no, that's enough. So Proverbs 18:17. Okay. Proverbs 18:17. This is kind of a random thing. This is the only proverb I found on this topic. Really? This is a thing. This is a real thing. Again, it's the only proverb I found on this one, but I think we need to look at it. Okay. Proverbs 18:17. It says, in a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until somebody comes forward and cross-examines. In other words, you know, somebody says, this is what happened, this is what they did, and this is what they said, and blah, blah, blah. It sounds totally convincing. And then you hear the other side, and you kind of go, wow. And if the person's not, they're probably not purposely deceiving you. They're giving you their version. So God, through Solomon, says, always, always get the other side. Well, what if you can't get the other side? Sometimes you can't get the other side. You know what you need to do in that case? You need to make up the other side. I'm serious. You need to imagine, okay, if you're as old as me, you become fairly good at knowing what the other side probably is. So, you either get the other side, or literally, if you can't get the other side, you kind of, my suggestion is to make it up. Just, right, I'm guessing probably, and then you can ask him, you know, that sort of thing, okay? So, we need to always, always get the other side, unless you literally can't, in which case, I'd say try to compose a possibility so that you can maybe take that with a grain of salt. And, you know, my experience says sometimes in the end it's 50-50. Because this person says this, this person says that. Sometimes the truth is right in the middle. Sometimes it's over here. Sometimes it's over here. But it's never either one. It's always in between. And so we have to learn, part of wisdom is to know when it's 50-50, 70-30, 80-20, whatever it is. And then go from there. Of course, you might be wrong. It's always possibly wrong. But if you do enough investigation, I think you're in a place to maybe reach a conclusion. Okay, last thing. We're done with essentially Proverbs in terms of wisdom. But there are some scriptures in Proverbs about the poor. So if I were to not cover those, I feel like I would have done an injustice to the poor and the needy. So we're going to just read these three scriptures, some short comments, and then we'll be done. Proverbs 14, verse 31, which says, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. You say, I never oppress the poor. Are you sure? Is it possible that in your actions, indirectly, unknowingly, you actually are oppressing the poor? And you say, we never want to outsource American jobs. Well, if you outsource an American job, that probably means three poor people will get a job. What's so bad about that? You know? What's so bad about somebody in another, I mean, is like, are American people more important than non-American people? By the way, if you are president, it's your job to protect Americans. That's his job or her job to, you know, that's okay, you know. You work for a company, your job is to work for your company and stuff like that. But as people, as Christians, it's possible we could oppress the poor without even knowing it. But what about directly doing that? But I don't want to focus in on that. It says, whoever is kind to the needy honors God. All right, so, you know, we're handing out all this food, all right? But because they come to whatever, St. Patrick's or cigarette, and say, how about, hey, you know, God bless, and how's it going? Not often, but a couple of times people have come through that line and I judge them. Because they had a really, really nice car. Yeah, there was a Jaguar that came through, by the way. Wait. I'm just kidding, but wait. I just said I'm just kidding. Alright. So anyway, let's read the scripture one more time. Whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for the maker, but whoever is kind to the needy, don't just give them stuff. Be kind to them. Don't judge them. And by the way, for Catholic Charities, that's an official rule, right? For your brother, that is an absolute cardinal rule for Catholic Charities is not judging people, right? Yep. So I'm thankful that Luis has that rule. And I think we mostly do a pretty good job of that, honestly, but there you go. Next one, Proverbs 29:7. Proverbs 29:7. Again, when Proverbs talks about the needy and the poor, it doesn't talk about giving them stuff. It talks about being kind to them. It talks about caring about them. And if you are kind to them and care about them, you're also going to give them stuff. Okay? Proverbs 29:7. Okay, the righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. All right, and so a goal that I have for us is not just to give things, but to create justice. All right, so giving things to the homeless, giving food to the homeless, that's good, but how about helping them to not be homeless anymore? And as a young, small church, it's hard for us to really develop those kinds of deep embedded programs that really actually create justice for people. But let's just remember that. What's this person say? The righteous care about justice. They care about the fact that some people are not being treated right. Okay? And then the last one, and this is like literally the last one before the thing about the women of a noble character. We did a separate thing about that. Proverbs 31:9. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Why do we need to defend the rights of the poor and the needy? Because nobody else is. Not literally. Generally, nobody else is. All right, to summarize, we learned a little bit about wisdom from Solomon and others these last 3 weeks. Not a lot of theology, maybe. Not a lot of doctrinal stuff. We'll get plenty of that because we're going to go. We're going to start having sermons from Luke for probably 3 or 4 months. So we're going to get plenty of that. Plenty of Jesus, plenty of theology. Last few weeks, Jesus was barely not even mentioned, actually, you know. But that's because we're preaching from Proverbs. And that's the Bible. We do the whole Bible. So a few things to summarize that we learned about is we need to fear God. We need to treat Him with a deep respect and reverence, and not say, hey, That's the kind of thing. Reverence and fear. Number two, we need to seek God's will in all major decisions. If you do not ask, what would God have me to do, you're sinning. That's James 4, verse 20 or whatever it is. Seek wisdom. Pay attention. Learn from experiences. Live a self-disciplined life. Learn self-control. Make that happen. Work hard. Build wealth if you do through hard work over time rather than trying to just make a whole lot of money real quick because you're going to lose that money anyway. Accept correction and seek advice. Got that? Accept correction and seek advice. Don't quarrel. Be a peacemaker. Let them stop talking. Listen. Hear them out. Don't do what I do all the time, and I need to be corrected. I've been working on it for 45 years, and I'm still not very good at it, which is figure out the answer you're going to give before you even let them finish talking. Okay? Do not gossip. Just, we need to be a totally gossip-free zone. Be careful about sarcasm and defend the poor. So that's our lesson, and we're going to have a song, and then Sandy's going to do our Lord's Supper talk. So thank you. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to sing a song to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper or communion, as people say.